And we're on.
Get a little intro music going on here. Slap. You ever doing that football pads?
Yeah.
You did the, what is that, Remember the Titans?
In the locker rooms. We did it before we walked out.
But it's off Remember the Titans.
Is that what it's from?
I was thinking it's like, you know, you go.
Pat. I do remember that.
I think that was Remember the Titans.
It probably is. But we would always do it like before we walked out. Do you have anybody rap to it?
No, I don't think
we did. No, we had people rap to ours.
Kaylee was obsessed with that movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Back in the day. Like, that was, because I think that movie probably came out when I was in middle school, maybe remember late elementary school, Remember the Titans.
I didn't watch it till late. Like, I don't think I watched it till like high school.
That is, well, yeah, I mean, for you, that's really late then, because you probably were in early elementary school when that movie came out. Because you didn't even get to watch it in school, because it's, that's a Disney movie, Disney. So I mean, there's nothing bad in there. It's a good, wholesome movie, football movie.
Yeah, I guess. And to be honest, even for like for a Disney movie, it's like a really good movie. Do you like, have, you know what I mean? Like there's Disney movies and then there's,
do you
like,
really, good since movies. You don't have kids, do you really watch Disney movies?
Dude, we watched one the other day. It's called Leo.
Leo?
Leo.
Is it an animated movie?
I don't know if it, yeah, it's animated. It's not a Disney movie. I don't know. It might
If it's animated, then it doesn't necessarily guarantee
it's, okay, then maybe Disney. It's not a Disney movie. But it's about a turtle and a turtle and a lizard in a school class.
I think I've seen like a trailer for this.
Not the worst. Not the worst. I could watch it again and not be mad.
So you used to watch animated movies?
I wouldn't say that. No. But I mean, we'll turn one on and like we'll watch it. She enjoys that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But to me, like it's not like I'm not like super excited to watch one. You know.
I mean, before we had kids, I can't remember the last time I'd actually watched an animated movie other than like being in school,
mm-hmm.
like middle school or high school. But once you get a high school, man, I'm not watching an animated movie unless I have to.
and really, I don't even, we just turned that one on because it was like, I think it was like Adam Sandler and somebody, and Bill Burr, I think, are the two characters.
Okay.
That's
pretty good.
It was actually kind of funny. It was actually kind of funny.
Do you have a top ranked football movie?
Ooh, that's a good question. I probably watched Blindside like 100 times when I was little, but I don't think it's the best.
I don't know if I've ever watched the Blindside all the way through.
All the way through? It's actually pretty good. It's kind of like Remember the Titan vibe. Mm-hmm. That one's good. I like probably Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
I'm a big Varsity Blues fan.
Varsity Blues. I was going to say maybe one more would be like The Longest Yard. I love The Longest Yard.
The Adam Sandler one? Okay, because that's actually a remake.
Yeah, that's like a remake. Like an 80s. I just thought it was funny. I liked that one a lot.
I liked The Replacements a lot when I was growing up.
Replacements?
You know, you watched The Replacements with Keanu Reeves?
No.
Oh, man.
Uh-uh.
So, like, it's not, it's like a, it's NFL, right? But there's different names for the teams and stuff like that. But the players go on strike, and so they have to find replacements.
Okay.
To still carry on the season. And Keanu Reeves is like a big college football player. He never really panned out in college. And so they have tryouts for the Washington Sentinels.
And he makes it?
And he makes a team. They do really well and stuff like that.
What the hell is that movie with Mark Wahlberg?
The Eagles?
Philadelphia Eagles?
That's
a good movie.
That's a good movie too. A little bit to a degree.
What is it? Is it Invincible?
Invincible. I think that's a Disney movie.
Yeah, I like that one.
But yeah, so like that was like an individual thing. Like one player got on from a tryout, right? But this was like the whole team.
Oh, okay.
Was replacements, right? So all former college football players, things like that.
What's the movie with what's the football movie with I think it's like a high school. It's a high school. There's a backup quarter. The only part I can like solely remember, and maybe you'll remember right now, is their dads are best friends. They're in the backyard barbecuing right now. And one of the friends has the starting quarterback and the other... Mm-hmm.
This
other
is Varsity dad. Blues.
Is that what it is? Okay. Well, that one's a good movie.
This is Varsity
Blues.
That was
a good movie. And he ends up like throwing the football and his son...
Yeah, in the face.
Bits him in the face. Yes. I like that movie.
That's Paul... Is it Paul Walker?
Is that what it is?
Paul Walker's a starting quarterback.
Okay.
Who gets hurt.
If that's Varsity Blues, I like that one.
Yeah. I can't remember that guy's name, the main actor in that movie. He was like on a big TV series like Dawson's Creek or something like that back in the day.
Okay.
That was like a real popular TV show. Like I want to say like in the late 90s, early 2000s. And he was like one of the stars on that show and he was in that movie. MTV actually produced that movie.
Really?
That's when MTV actually made movies.
The only thing I think about MTV is when I think about...
TRL?
No, I think about...
I think about TRL.
The Cribs, MTV Cribs.
Cribs, yeah.
I always watched MTV Cribs.
Cribs, Robin Big.
Robin Big. Robin Big was good.
Robin Big was legit.
We had a drop-in the other day that literally looked just like Rob Dyrdek.
Really?
Like, I'm talking... Brandy walked up to me and goes, does that not look like Rob Dyrdek? And I said, to be honest with you, it could be him from
the side. Do they still do Ridiculousness?
I don't know if they still do it, but I mean, they have so many episodes that they just rerun.
They rerun the shit out of it. It's like Comedy Central always shows always Office.
Oh, yeah. Kind of same concept.
Every so often, probably like once every 3 months, and I'm just kind of scrolling through a channel, and MTV just happens to scroll through like, you know, a channel, and it's always showing Ridiculousness.
Always that. When it first came out, like I remember watching the shit out of that show.
It's so funny as hell. I pull it every so often. It's still funny as hell.
Because I remember watching it in like middle school. I think it was middle school, like end of middle school. Because I remember, I think I still had a babysitter.
Did you ever watch the what was that show? It was like the challenge, just like that. So I don't.
There's like so many of those though. There's so many different like variations. Are you talking about the reality challenges?
Well, back in the day, you're probably going to be a little too young for this. Because even this was a little getting towards the end of like my middle school, high school area. They had like Road Rules. And they had the one where they all stayed in a house. Kind of like you were at Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
So it was like a playoff Jersey Shore. Like, well, this was like before Jersey Shore was a thing. So it was the same concept where you had like, you know, four guys and four girls in a house. And obviously it was just... cameras were rolling, trying to get drama and shit like that, right? And I forgot what the name of the show was. And they had like Road Rules, which I think was the same concept, but they were on a bus.
Okay.
And then they would take people from each of those things and then create the challenge. Right?
No, that happens. Like they still do that shit. They still do that shit all the time. Now it's like they'll have like 10 and 10 or like 8 and 8, and they're living like this big ass house together.
Yeah.
I used to watch that stuff, yeah.
I want to say that, because I remember watching a little docu-series on reality TV. Because, like, growing up, like, in the 90s, reality TV wasn't really a thing yet. But I want to say, like, that show, they stayed in the house, was, like, the kickoff of, like, reality TV.
Okay.
Where it kind of caught fire, and then more and more... different networks started doing reality TV.
Jersey Shore was huge.
Dude, Jersey Shore was like that was late high school, like early college for me. And I remember watching that show. I probably watched the first 2 seasons of that show.
I watched it a little bit.
I can still remember the first episode I ever watched. We watched 2 episodes in a row. Kaylee had moved into like her first apartment off of Cypress Street in Sulphur. Like a little bit apartment. I remember staying there one day and we were watching it. I'm like, this show is crazy.
It's good.
They still do like some Jersey Shore stuff, I think, on there.
Oh, yeah.
Like with those characters on there.
For sure. They have like a newer Jersey Shore too with all the same characters. But I was like, I'm not watching that shit.
Yeah. But anyways, before we bore everybody with TV talk here, I thought this first strength cycle of the year went pretty successful.
I think it went really well.
For the people who showed up.
Sure. Like, people are consistent. I think it worked out very well.
I didn't realize, like, when I obviously programmed the consistency over everything challenge plus the strength stuff to kind of correlate with that, that obviously the testing week was going to fall on Mardi Gras.
On Mardi Gras, yeah.
I probably would have adjusted it, you know, a week further or, like, earlier.
Yeah.
To adjust for that, because obviously with Mardi Gras, the attendance wasn't as high this week. Sure. As it would be on a normal week. And so, but I was very surprised on how many people PR'd their strict press.
And front squats, for sure.
And front squat. Like, honestly, probably a little more on the front squat than the strict press, but strict press is one of those things that's so hard to PR on. Strict press is
very hard to PR.
Yeah, because like, even like a 5-pound PR.
It's like a 5-pound PR, and it's like a fight to the finish.
Yeah. If you get like a 10-pound PR, that's like hitting like a 40-pound PR in your front squat. It's just one of those things where it's so hard to do. Then I think...
And it's a fun one to watch.
But the struggle?
The struggle, dude. The grind of a strict press is hilarious to watch.
Well, everybody gets that bar to about mid to high forehead level, and they just can't crank past that 90.
It's just like a wall happens. And I think we watched Kyle James have a bar over his head for like 20 seconds.
Or you see the one where they're starting to press, and you see one arm still going up and one arm still standing down. And one arm
slagging down, yes.
Those are good, but I was actually highly impressed with the amount of strict press PRs that we have, because it's probably been a while since I've actually programmed like straight up strict press as like a strength cycle per se. because I'm always hesitant to program that. Hello, Jennifer. Jennifer's coming in on our podcast right now. Is ran 3 miles?
She ran 7 miles, guys.
Seven miles.
Double that. Because it's just, it's one of those things that's so hard to PR on. But I do think, like you kind of said, like including the push-up volume mm-hmm. and the skull crushers, and to a degree, like doing the speed work with the strict press yeah. helped out a ton with that. Because usually we'll just program just strict press, right? So I think that helped out a ton with that. And so I see that it paid off dividends there. And so I think also like one thing I've been a little bit more excited about is seeing people get a little bit more interested in that level method board.
In the level method board? Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like we did not have a lot of bitching this time.
Surprisingly, no.
And it was kind of like, it was good. It was good to have that.
Because I want to say the last couple times we've somewhat used a level method board, people kind of complain sure. about it a little bit to a degree. And I think the fact that we, it's like one of the first times we've really gone through a true strength cycle and then like using the level method board to correlate with that mm-hmm. helped out a ton. Because a lot of people were like asking questions about it. Yeah. And like,
I'm actually curious.
Well, I even had a couple of people ask me like, well, what's the next level method test going to be okay. you know, for this next strength cycle and stuff.
That's good to hear.
And so I'm really excited about that. People are getting a little bit more intrigued by it. It pumps me up at least a little bit sure. as a coach. And so for this next coming strength cycle, obviously we're going to include a couple different things. The idea is to be able to try to go through all the tests by the end of the year, which if I was doing my math correctly, we should be able to do that. Because essentially if we included 3 tests per strength cycle, we could get through all the tests of the year. And we could technically, at the end of the year, probably repeat a couple of tests that we did earlier in the year if okay. we needed to. Because kind of like, so based off the amount of weeks that we have in the year, and usually most of our strength cycles will last somewhere around 7 weeks. That gives us roughly 7 cycles to be able to go through in a year, given a year, give or take a little bit. So if we go through, there's 15 different categories that you have to go through. So technically, we should be able to get them all through with a little bit of cushion left in the tank. So obviously, some of you guys are not going to want to do the row test and the kettlebell mm-hmm. test, and we'll give you a different option to do as we get later on down the road, but which will not be in the current strength cycle coming up. So on the docket for those, we have upper body pull test, the deadlift test, and aerobic power intervals.
Those are the ones we're going to be doing next, right?
That'll be kind of like our tester at the end of this strength cycle. That'll kind of correlate. This one's going to be a little tougher to come by because the open kind of disrupts a little bit of what we're doing.
A little bit, but not till Friday.
But not till Friday. We're not doing strength pieces anyways.
And Thursday strength piece is normally like a, still a strength piece, but like we're not like testing anything necessarily on Thursday, huh?
No, not Thursday is usually more accessory yeah. type things to help out with other core lifts, so to speak. So, like, Monday, we're doing the Bulgarian split squat, mm-hmm. which we've done before in the past. It's been a little while. So, we went through back squat at the end of the year. We went front squat to start the year off. And I usually always try to include some type of squatting movement. There's only so many variations
you can really do.
You can include here. And one thing I think is really important to do that we don't really do a lot of in CrossFit in general, and you probably don't see a lot of CrossFit boxes in general, is like the Bulgarian split squat as like a strength movement, right? It's a good movement because it's obviously it's unilateral, it's one leg at a time. And being able to load that up with a barbell allows you to do it in a way where the rep scheme is done to build strength, right? So like we do single leg work from time to time, like lunges,
sure,
right? But a lot of times that's more like strength endurance. Because you're doing it for distances for multiple rounds, right? So you might do 50 feet, 100 feet, 150 feet, whatever it may be. But you're not, that's more like a muscular endurance standpoint. You're not really doing it for general strength purposes per se. Even though it will help out with strength to a degree, but it's not just pure strength focus. Mm-hmm. So including the Bulgarian split squat under like a lower rep range allows you to obviously accumulate more intensity with weight. And because you're doing it unilaterally, can also help out workouts and asymmetries, right? Because we just, if for constant is doing bilateral movement, that's squatting with both legs, which obviously most people do more often than not, right? That's just, you're not going to always just keep doing single leg squats all the time. Can help combat a little bit of that asymmetry that you have going on. Inevitably, everybody has a stronger side and a weaker side. I don't think you can never completely get away from that altogether. But when you create too big of asymmetries, right, where you have like one leg that can Bulgarian split squat 135 pounds for 15 reps, and then your left side can only do it for 5 reps, that could be a big issue.
Big difference.
Big difference. And so that's one of the areas that you possibly injury could occur because of so much asymmetry going on there. And so the idea really with that one is, it's not we're going to work up to like a warrant max Bulgarian split squat. Mm-hmm. Like that's not the idea behind that. So we're not necessarily doing quote unquote a test on that. It is more so to build more well-roundedness of the general squat and health of the squat and the health of your hips and your knees and your ankles and your back as well to further along your lifespan in the gym, so to speak. It's still a great accessory movement to build in the squat, right? So like just because you're doing Bulgarian split squats doesn't mean you're going to get weaker at front squats or back sure. squats because of it, right?
Yeah,
just because
you're not... You get a lot of a Bulgarian split squat. You get a lot
dude,
of
they
that.
Suck.
They're a beast.
They suck. And so I think some people can look at that movement as like it's a inferior movement or like what's the point, because if we're not front squat or back squatting, then there's no point in pushing myself that hard mm-hmm. on that movement. And what people don't realize is like if you train really hard in that individual movement, it can have carryover to the back squat and the front squat or a thruster,
deadlift,
anything like that that can have carrier to a bigger, heavier compound movement. I think those movements like Bulgarian squats aren't as flashy and as cool looking. So people have a tendency to really not get as much attention to those movements and like as much intensity into those movements because they're not the squat or the back squat or the front squat. And if you put the intensity in like you should, it'll have carryover.
If you put the intensity into that, I think they're like really awesome, like really, really good movement for it.
And I would like to include, and something maybe we have to talk about in the future, me and you, like just not sitting on the podcast per se, but it's just hard to do unilateral strength work with with your arm, right? Because you can do like strict press, that's fine, but like if you're gonna include like a push press or like a push break, a dumbbell
sure.
push break,
yeah.
It's just we don't have enough heavy dumbbells
for
doing something like that, right? Like if you're somebody like Matt Cole who's gonna do a 70 or 80 pound dumbbell for single dumbbell push jerks, and you got a couple other guys who are gonna be relatively strong.
Yeah, I mean, we've done like kettlebell push press and a strength piece before with like negatives. I think we've done that before.
It'd probably be under a negative. It's a bit harder to come by, and it's harder to do incremental loads to a degree. It's just a little bit more wonky of a thing to program. But I try to, as best I can, program some unilateral stuff from time to time. In doing dumbbell movements, like just like dumbbell push press in general, it's still technically kind of doing unilateral work to a degree because you're still having to press both dumbbells with both arms. But even so, to a degree, you can still kind of
like favorite one.
You still kind of cut a corner by like, you know, compensating a little bit to one side. But when it comes to like midline stabilization, doing like a heavy single arm, like dumbbell or kettlebell push press, whole different story.
Different one.
So we'll go through that general progression. The testing is not going to really be a test on the Bulgarian split squat. Like I said, it's just more so to work on asymmetry, still build unilateral strength per se as you kind of progress through that 7-week cycle. Tuesday is going to be the more body weight thing. So like we didn't really do any body weight testing per se through the cycle unless you're doing the push-up test. So which most females especially like to work on their pull-ups, right? They want to try to get
sure.
straight pull-ups. So that'll be on Tuesday going forward with the idea of testing the upper body pull test at the end of it.
Some people are going to be using weighted though, right?
Well, the prescribed variation is weighted.
We'll be weighted.
Right? We'll kind of utilize cluster sets to start off the strength cycle. And then after about the halfway point of the strength cycle, we'll just go to normal sets and reps.
Okay.
A lot of times we use that like in Murph and things like that, kind of like prepping for that. So if you don't know what a cluster set, what you've done these a couple times now, but it could be like example, like 2.2.2, which is two pull-ups, rest, say prescribed is 10 seconds, two reps, rest, two reps. So it's a way for you to accumulate volume, but also keep the intensity relatively high with higher weights because of the quick breaks that you're taking, so to speak. So they're a really good option to choose, especially I think in body weight options, I think they're really good. Mm-hmm. So it could be weighted, not weighted, banded, supine rows, or different variations that we're going to choose from. But the idea is obviously for some people, getting their first shirt pull up, for some people it's getting their first weighted pull up, or just trying to advance up that level method system board as needed. Then we're going to pair that up with a handstand walk and wall walk variation. Because obviously handstand walk is a skill of some kind, but it's building volume inside the handstand walk. So the test we're actually going to include for this is just a simply like a 3-minute AMRAP, right? So either max distance or max reps in 3 minutes on the wall or max distance of the handstand walk. And the idea being, as we kind of progress that, that'll actually be more like a, kind of like we do with the push-ups with Tabata.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be Tabata, but we're going to adjust the time domains. The time frame
that you're working.
Exactly, right? So like, I think like the first week is like 8 sets of 20 seconds on, 20 seconds off.
Okay.
I believe is what it is. And as we kind of progress that from week to week, your time of work will increase, right? So like, I think the following week's like 6 sets. 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, and it's like 4 sets of 45 seconds on, 45 okay. seconds off.
Like working to a minute?
To a degree. So you're building the time of what you're working, per se. So we're just building volume in that retrospect and then retesting that 3-minute AMRAP again at the end of the strength cycle. And then Wednesday will be deadlift.
Okay.
Which we haven't tested in a while. For some, good and bad. I think some people get really excited about deadlifts. Some people hate the deadlift, right? And it is a movement that, obviously, with any movement, but especially the deadlift, if you're not, your form is not being locked in,
sure,
you know, you could pay some ramifications for doing that, right? So I'm always a little hesitant about programming deadlift in the strength cycle, but it's been a long time since we've done it, and I think some people are interested to see kind of what they can pull now. And so we'll go for that general cycle as well. That'll be more traditional, you know, 4x4 or 5x3 off percentage work. And then with a test afterwards, with that strength cycle, don't be surprised. Especially you guys are coming late in the afternoons. You guys are probably going to partner up in the barbells.
Yeah.
Just because of the sheer
volume of weight.
Yeah. Sheer volume of weight that people are going to be using, right? Because, I mean, there's a lot of guys that can deadlift, you know, over 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got a lot of girls who can deadlift over 200 pounds, things like that. And so a lot of weights are going to be used. So you guys are probably going to partner up like 2, 3, 4 people to a barbell. Yeah. So, which is fine. It's not a big, not the end of the world. It's just one barbell on the floor and you guys can help adjust weights and add weights and things like that. And obviously then retesting your warm max at the end of that strength cycle. And then Thursday with the barbell incline press,
mm-hmm.
which...
That's going to get spicy.
Well, that first week's going to be spicy.
That first week is spicy.
So... Because Kale, like when I kind of wrote up the strength cycle for this, and I was kind of showing Kale that, you know, his, as he's looking at the progressions from week to week on the barbell incline press, so you'll kind of notice we're going to kind of have like an A week and a B week that we'll kind of mm-hmm. alternate back and forth from. So like the A weeks is more like hypertrophy volume focused, right? So like EMOM, moderate amount of reps, that'd be more of your volume, hypertrophy. And then like your B weeks is more a little bit more strength. So less volume but higher intensity with the weight, so higher higher weights with a little bit less reps, things like that. So that's a way of building strength as well. So we're kind of correlating both those things together. And the barbell incline press is a great option because of the angle which you're pressing is a lot different from what we normally press from. So like CrossFit's usually 1 of 3 planes, right? You're usually pressing in a vertical plane, so you're doing handstand push-ups, push press, strict press, whatever it may be. Horizontal plane, push-up, bench press, or like a downward plane, some type of dip. It's like your 3 most common mm-hmm. things we'll see in CrossFit. But like the incline press is a great option to kind of marry the two in between because you can still kind of get shoulder and pec work in there, which can have carry over to both the strict press and the bench press or the push-up, so on and so speak. And So we'll kind of bounce and forth between the incline press maybe like twice a year. And then to include a little bit of core work in there, we're going to do some weighted planking on top of that. So, which I think would be a great supplement to the deadlift anyways, with like bracing and learning sure. how to brace better, especially under a load like a weighted plank. And I think a lot of people may not even be able to use any type of weighted plank variations.
There are going to be some people using weight, but there won't be a lot, I don't think.
Because you see the common fault with that plank is that that's the sunken lower back position mm-hmm. where your hips start to lower instead of actually rolling your hips underneath and squeezing that rib cage down. I know for me for the longest time, like going through school and even like doing just normal college stuff, you know, a plank's like, oh, get in the plank hold. You know, you're going to do a limited plank hold.
Plank's a plank.
And you feel it all in your lower back. Yeah. Right? You're just like in this big arch position. Your hips are just sagging the whole time. But when you actually truly roll your hips underneath and you pull the ribcage down, you can actually feel your...
Think about doing like a hollow body in a plank position, kind
of. Yeah, it's essentially what it is. It's a good way to think about it. It's like a hollow body while you're on your forearms, essentially, because your shoulder blades should be pushed back, ribcage pulled down. And the hard part about it, really, to be honest, is like holding that movement integrity.
Yeah. It's always hard for me to continue to squeeze my butt. I always want to relax that, but yeah. Like you squeezing that, it makes everything kind of like stay in position, I feel like.
Well, just like the hollow body hold.
Yeah.
It's the same concept where when you're in the plank hold, it's like as you start getting fatigued, it's really, really hard to maintain that movement integrity. So definitely as you get tired, you're trying to bypass the system to make the movement easier. And so a lot of times you see that sagging of the hips and things like that, and you feel it in your lower back. And so I highly, highly recommend throughout the strength cycle is if you can't maintain that position, there's no point adding load to that position at all. So, because I mean, you see those stupid memes where guys are stacking like seven plates literally, on their back.
Yes.
You know, like they got some chicks on top of plates doing back squats or yeah. something. And it's like, dude, there's... Come on, man. Like, you're not even...
You can't do that.
You're not doing that. I'm just sorry. And so that'll be kind of like our general strength cycle kind of going forward over the next 7-week block with those tests at the end. And so one thing I was kind of thinking about this morning when it came to just like most CrossFit boxes, right, is the old school programming is a lot more randomized.
Yeah.
So like if you've never seen old school CrossFit programming is you might have, let's say you take 6 days in one given week of what a old school CrossFit style workouts would look like. Probably of the six, you would see four that would look more like a traditional CrossFit wad. Mm-hmm. And then you would see probably one in there for sure. That would be, you know, 8 200s
yeah.
with a 60-second rest. And then you'd see like one would be like push jerk 5 5 5 3 3 3 1 1 1, right? And then the next week it would be completely something different, right? So you'd have another four workouts, three workouts.
Squat clean instead of push jerk.
Yeah, you're like, all right, now you're gonna power clean 3 3 3 3.
Yeah.
And you're gonna front squat 5 5 5 5 5. And the next week it's rehashed to something different, right? And the whole slogan was, you know, the unknown unknowable, right? Like to be prepared for anything at all points in time. And I think when you're doing a little bit of that, like, yes, you can see progress, and I'm not saying you can't see anything like sure. by doing that, right? The problem is that I see with that a lot of times is when you're working on so many things that you don't really improve upon anything very fast,
yeah.
right? So
you're playing like a super long-term deal right there.
Well, if you're like, you have, you know, 18 different things you're trying to work on, you're not doing anything consistently enough, long enough to really see
the benefits
that you would otherwise, right? Like you're better off saying, okay, let me reduce that down to like 3 to 5 items and really put a lot of attention and focus here that are maybe my primary weaknesses, so to speak, and do a, you know, 6, 12, 18-week progression on these things and see a lot more improvement, a lot faster in these things compared to if I was just sprinkling randomized things all the time.
Sure.
Right? Where I could see like very marginal gains throughout a year. Right? And so I think that can be sometimes the problems with a lot of people when it comes to like CrossFit or CrossFit programming, is that they're trying to work on so many things so often. Yeah. Right? And like you never really get better at anything in particular. Sure, like for instance, like you're trying to work on ring muscle ups and you go through a 12-week cycle of ring muscle ups as a progression, right? And then you go, you know, 12, 18 weeks without really doing them like consistently. Yeah, you're probably not going to feel as great doing them compared to when you're on the cycle of doing ring muscle ups, but you're still probably in a better boat if you're just randomly doing them once a month.
Sure. Well, it's like once you master something, or let's say you get something, just because you get it doesn't mean you're going to keep it, right?
Well, like, you know, to a degree, let's say, look at anybody here who's been at our gym, who maybe before starting doing CrossFit, they are a little bit more like a specialist mm-hmm. in the way of like whether it be lifting weights or running as like the primary examples that you would mainly see here. And, you know, let's say they start doing CrossFit, they don't really specialize anymore. They're not really running or lifting on the same amount of volume that they did otherwise. And then they go about a year, they might have regressed a little bit, or maybe they're not running quite as fast or lifting quite as sure. much weight, but they're still a hell of a lot better at it than most people.
Yeah. I bet they're better at maybe running like a shorter distance. I can tell maybe you that, so. Right?
Right.
But they might be better at a different style of running. Right?
Like they maybe have seen like a 10% reduction mm-hmm. in their 5K time or their back squat or whatever it may be, right? Because they're not spending as much time and volume in that particular area.
I mean, look at Marta. Marta got fourth place and third place in that little 5K thing the other day.
Overall?
Overall.
Damn, did she and, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know she got first in her class, right? First in her
class, but like overall in the 5K.
She got men
like
and
third
women?
Third or fourth.
Men and women?
Yeah.
And it was so, a 5K?
It was a 5K.
Okay.
And I was like, that's still, like for her not running as much as she used to run, like mm-hmm. that's still really good.
Well, I remember talking to her couple of weeks ago, and she had told me she had just signed up for one, like it was like 3 weeks away. Mm-hmm. And she said she was kind of nervous for it because she was trying to maintain, I forgot what mileage she was trying to maintain. I want to say it was like a 630 mile.
Like
impressive.
Like Mark can run for anybody that doesn't know that. Mark can run for a girl. Like,
yeah.
You're more guy. Like she can run.
Yeah. She was trying to maintain like a 630 mile, something like that.
That's impressive.
For, you know, for a 5K, it's pretty damn impressive. That's booking. And so what I'm getting at there though is they spent a lot of time this one individual thing. So they've seen a lot of acceleration in this one particular area, right? And so with CrossFit, obviously you have to be good at like a lot of different array of things. But I think the thinking of that is like you're trying to work on everything all at one time. And you see, like I said, marginal gain. And obviously you can't spend as much time as like Marta on running because she was a collegiate athlete in track and field, mm-hmm. right? So her whole entire her life was running, right? And so, and you talk about the whole facet of fitness, like obviously she's really fit in this one area, but really weak in some other areas, right? And so the idea being is to do a better job of making a full circle. But what I'm getting at is like, you should take time sporadically throughout the year to work on different portions of that circle, so to speak, right? Where you can maybe take one piece of gymnastics, one piece of lifting, one piece of monostructure work maybe as an example, and you put more time and effort into that particular bucket to improve and accelerate that faster. And then once that has now improved, you work on the next weakest thing,
sure.
right? So like if I'm like a bad presser, well, I probably need to spend more time on pressing than I do need to be doing squatting, right? If I'm only pressing every 3 weeks, I'm not inducing enough volume and intensity into my pressing to really see a lot of big gains in that particular thing. Like if I suck at strict handstand pushups, well, if I do handstand pushups every 3 weeks in a wad, well, I'm not going
to get better.
I'm not going to really ever get that much better at them, right? Like maybe in a year, 2 year, 3 year time frame, I maybe see like a marginal improvement there, right? Where I'm doing, if I'm able to do 5 strict handstand pushups, maybe I could do 6 or 7. But I mean, fuck, who wants to work out for 3 years and see a 2 rep improvement in handstand pushups? And so I think that's one of the pitfalls to people sometimes, at least in most gyms, is they're just kind of randomizing things. And then because of that, also, like, when it comes to movement pattern, right? So, like, one of the things is, like, when we go through a strength cycle, like, 6 weeks of, like, a particular thing, people's forms improve tremendously over that cycle as well, right?
Because, dude, I noticed, just on the, because, like, I know, like, me and Heidi, like, really tried to harp positioning this on push-ups this whole cycle. Like, really, like, got on people for push-up stuff this cycle. And from week one to the last week, like, I feel like everybody's push-ups got so much better.
Like, positioning-wise, like, right?
Form-wise. Because you like, got... It looked like, if, whether they're on a box or on the floor, like, you could look around the class and be like, everybody's doing a really good damn push-up.
Well, because they get enough exposure to it, right? When you're doing push-ups once a month, then you're not getting enough exposure to it to really improve upon the form, right? Or if you're going to do... an overhead squat as an example, or a ring muscle up, yes, your form is not going to be nearly improved if you're not touching on it enough. And so that's where that striking that balance of taking time such year to retool these things and then trying to maintain that as you're not necessarily going through that cycle again, because you've already built the muscle memory and the wherewithal to know how you're moving now. And maybe you take a little bit of a hit there, right? So if I... Say I build my ring muscle ups from 7 to 10 unbroken reps. I say it takes me 4 months to do that, right? And then, okay, like now I've hit my marker of 10 ring muscle ups. I feel like that has improved enough for where I want to be. And now I'm going to work on handstand walking as an example, where I'm not going to spend as much time, volume, energy on my ring muscle up anymore. And let's say maybe, you know, that goes for 6 months. Your ring muscles might progress from like 10 down to like 9.
Yeah.
Right? You might see like a 10% reduction in that.
It might be sets of your old max.
Yeah.
Like, right?
But you've still seen a marginal improvement to that compared to if you were working on it at all. You're just periodically hitting it every couple of months or every couple of weeks. Compared to you actually like, hey, I'm doing it once a week for the next 8 weeks. I can see a lot more improvement with that, with form, positioning, volume, accumulation of reps, and increasing that compared to if I was just doing it, like I said, a WOD every 3 or 4 weeks. And so that's why I like doing the strength cycles, which some gyms do and some gyms don't do. Because if you still went to like a level one, they would probably still preach the old school method. But that's my kind of argument
too. I feel like it would be boring to sign up to a CrossFit gym and just do CrossFit workouts every day. Like, not having that aspect of like the strength piece, like that changes every 7 weeks or something. Something for you to like look forward to, but also like you're getting stronger also. You know?
Yeah. Did you ever do the CrossFit total back in the day?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The back squat, deadlift,
strength press. Like two, they're like two or three of them now.
Yeah, they have the CrossFit total. So the original is Finder, Romex, back squat, strict press, and deadlift all in the same day, right? So back in the day, you'd be like, all right, you got 15 minutes each station, right? I think we went back squat, strict press, and then finished with deadlift. And then you obviously add up whatever weights you got each individual one, your max load. That was your total for CrossFit total, right? They had the other total.
It was like an overhead squat.
I want to say it's overhead squat, bench press, and clean was like the other total. And I want to say they did one in the Masters.
They had a different one?
It might have been that one, to be honest. I want to say maybe there was one. I can't remember what it would be because it would be one. I think maybe it was like snatch. I got to clear my throat here. Snatch, maybe like front squat. I don't remember what the press was, though. Because usually it's like some type of pull from the floor. One type of squatting movement and one type of pressing movement. But I can't remember off the top of my head what that one would be. There's probably like there's a 2 to 3 different variations of that. But
did y'all ever have the 1,000-pound club in like high school?
Was it based off body weight?
So we did ours just off of lifts.
So we had one that was like the... The highest one was called like the pound for pound club.
Okay. It's probably the same shit.
But you had 3 different variations, and each variation was like, you had like the pound for pound was like the top tier. Mm-hmm. You had like a second tier and a bottom tier. I mean, it was a constant deal on the board in general, right? But I think our list, I'm pretty sure all the lists were based off your body weight. Like a percentage of, like, I forgot how they did the math on it, right? So you had to, Because obviously it's not fair that a guy who maybe like 280 pounds,
sure,
who can bench press 405 in high school and back squat, you know, 450 and then, you know, clean 275.
Yeah.
That's not fair when you got a guy who's a buck 60 lifting against him, right? It's just about pure just weight.
Sure.
And so I forgot what it was. It was like, you know, you had to back squat a certain percentage of your body weight. You had to, you know, bench press a certain percentage of your body weight, and like hang clean a certain percentage of your body weight. And that's what got you into those. And like the harder the percentages would go up.
Okay.
Right. So you might have to be able to back squat like body weight and a half or the 200 pound club.
200 pounds.
Right. And then like it might be like 2.5 times your body weight for like the pound for pound.
So I remember when I was my freshman year, Chad and Court started it at St. Okay. Louis. Which is crazy to say, but they started it when my freshman year. And then
St. Louis.
Yeah. And then sophomore year, Trey and me were the 1 and 2 our sophomore.
Oh, no shit. Trey for the sophomore class or overall?
Overall.
Oh, like, no shit.
As sophomores. And so, but it was just the football team. Like, the football team would all be
good. Yeah, yeah. That's the same thing back in the day.
But I just remember that being like, and we got like shirts and shit.
So we kind of did the same thing for us. They did it once a year.
It was always at the end of summer.
Yeah, it's like towards the end of spring. Right? So right before you started doing spring football practice is okay. When we would do this. And so it'd be like, you know, April-ish time frame, and they call you. So you is the Iron. They call it being Iron Man.
Okay.
But I think like the top 10 guys got to be like get the shirt and like take a picture and they put it like in the weight room.
Oh, cool.
And so each year you'd see who made the Iron
Man. That's cool.
And so it was like the traditional lifts. So you had the back squat, the hang clean, the bench press. You had shuttle run.
Okay.
You had 40-yard dash.
All right.
You had a 20-yard tire flip.
Okay, we didn't do that.
So it was for time, right? So like you basically, it's like kind of like CrossFit where you're on a ranking system, right? So like if you got first in the tire flip, well, you got like 1 point.
Oh. Okay.
Or like your back squat, you might have got like, you know, fifth in the back squat, so you got 5 points.
Gotcha.
Right? So they try to balance it out to where like the big guys, usually the way it would work is the guys who would normally get it would be like linebackers
fullback,
wide receivers. Backs. So like the guys are kind of like a happy medium between strength and speed.
Sure.
Because those guys are usually a little bit more well-rounded, like at least in like that particular test. I can't remember if there was anything. There's like probably 8 or 10 different tests. I can't remember the other ones were. Those are the ones I talked. Because I remember doing the tire flip for 20 yards.
You doing it? See, we never did the tire flip. We always did the 40-yard dash. Our strength thing changed from our freshman year to sophomore year, but it was either bench press or incline press. It was one of those two. And then it was power clean and...
So you did power clean?
We did power cleans and then deadlift? No, back squats. Back squats.
Okay.
Back squats, that's what it was.
Those are the only three you did?
Yep.
So those are the three lifts that... It was bench, clean, squat that got you on that pound for pound thing board.
Okay.
But the Ironman had multiple different
things. That's a cool concept though.
Yeah, they had like kind of like two different things.
I like that.
Throughout the year. But for us, it was, we never did 1 rep maxes.
Never?
Never.
What?
Everything was a 10 rep max.
Oh, that's so horrible.
Everything was 10 rep maxes. Oh, like bench press, back squat, and hang clean.
And hang clean?
And hang clean.
Back squats. That would be tough. That's a 10 rep. I've never done a 10 rep back squat max.
I want to say like in high school, I don't know, maybe did like 3, I don't like maybe 315.
For back squat?
315 for 10, yeah. Something like that.
I could see that. Hang clean probably be like...
Hang clean was tough because...
Like 185 maybe? Like 155 probably maybe?
So we had this rule. I don't know why they had this rule. Because they didn't teach hook grip.
Okay.
That wasn't a thing.
I didn't know.
I didn't know anything about hook grip until
I came to CrossFit.
Yeah. So hook grip wasn't a thing. But they would allow you to use straps, but only when you were able to hang clean 185.
So you had to get to 185 before you
could use straps? That was the standard. Like, okay. If you hang clean 135, 155, 175.
Oh, dude, that would make a difference, though.
No, because I mean,
that's a huge difference.
No, 185 is not easier than 175, yeah. Right? And they would allow you to strap in if you had over 185 pounds.
Okay. All right.
So, like when you went for your max, you were like, you, as long as you're doing 185 pounds or above,
you're good.
You could strap in for 10 reps. Okay. I'm like, all right. That makes all the difference in the world. And I remember doing it. It's probably my senior year, doing the hang, the 10 rep max hang clean. And I don't know, I remember what the weight was on the bar. It was probably around 185 ish, 200 pounds in that range for 10. And getting to like 7 or 8. And I remember the last two, because they didn't say like it had to be hang power. So right? It's like everybody said had hang power cleans. Like that was just kind
same
of
weird. Like if we did hang cleans, it was like just get the bar.
Use your shoulders. Like they didn't like specify hang or squat. That wasn't really a thing. And just naturally, without even thinking about it, like I did on like my ninth rep, I did a hang squat clean, and everybody's like, "What the fuck?
What did he just do?
Like, what is that?" Like it was just like nobody did those things back then because that wasn't taught to us. But obviously, looking back on it, like high school weight rooms are
such a shit show. Now it's probably better.
It's better. It's definitely a shit show at times. Like you still learn some things, but it's as you get older, you've learned a lot more. You're like, oh man,
this is what the hell was I doing? I have so many crazy.
Did you ever do front squats?
Huh?
Did you ever do front squats?
No, we did. So we did strict press, incline, bench, deadlift, power cleans, hang cleans, and then. That was it. So, we do like some dumbbell stuff. So we would do like a dumbbell bench or like a dumbbell press or curls.
We tried to do front squats like maybe 2 or 3 times in my high school career, and everybody kept bitching about their wrist.
The wrist?
Because nobody could get into a good front rack position back in the day. And so they never really let us. Every once in a while they would program front squats randomly, but they never really did. But yeah, it was mainly back squats. I think we did a combination of hang cleans and power cleans. Mm-hmm. Bench press or incline press, whether it be a dumbbell or barbell. Every so often, we had two of those like lat pulley machines in there.
See, we didn't have anything like that.
Every so often, they would program something like that. It wouldn't be very often. They had like a couple, like maybe like 1 or 2 leg curl machines in there.
Okay.
But it was like plate loaded leg curl machines.
Those are cool. That's like old school.
Yeah. But I don't remember really using those a whole bunch. Just because the way they did us, I don't know how they did you back in the day, where there was maybe like 10 to 15 people per group. So it was more like you had like linebackers and maybe like running backs and fullbacks together. And you had like O-line, D-line together.
So
and
That makes sense, though.
You had like safeties and wide receivers and maybe like quarterbacks in there or something like that. As like examples of like that was your group of pairing of like, so you might have the wide receivers and the secondary doing back squats,
mm-hmm.
O-line, D-line doing hang clean, and then you have, you know, the linebackers and fullbacks doing bench press.
Okay.
And so, and they would, you know, you do your station, you take a knee, and then, you know, they, however long the station was, just last 10, 15 minutes, and they would, you know, blow your whistle, you clap your hands, and you rotate the next station.
Then
you go from, like, back squats to cleans or something.
Ours was conditioning and strength. And so, but we were always partnered up with, it was groups of 5. And it went by how strong you were.
So they didn't do anything about strength. It was just about position.
So like it would be like me and Trey and then like 3 D linemen. Like 3 O linemen. And so it was always like, it was a weird combination though.
Well, like, and then also another station there would be some type of speed station.
Yeah.
So
they would go to the gym or outside for that.
So we had 3 different spots we would go. We would go, sometimes the year we go on the track. Because the track and the weight room were literally like buttoned up right to each other. So you go to the track and like you'd run like, you know, your 40s or your 10-yard dashes, whatever it may be, different portions of the year. We had above the locker room was like the old like weightlifting area. But we did like more agility stuff, like shuttle run, like box jump stuff up there. And then there's another right there by the weight room is the upstairs area of the basketball gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the winter, it'd be like super cold or something like that outside.
You go up there
and you do like, you know, like your bounding exercise, like, you know, you do like the A skip and B skip, you do like the bounding skips and stuff like that.
Damn that shit.
So that's what we do throughout the year. And then also they had other like more football specific equipment. So Java was called a bear. We call it a bear. I don't know if that was the actual name of the piece of the equipment. But think of it kind of like I want to say a hacksaw, but it's not
quite. I'm trying to think about what the hell
this is. So think of this like, okay, so think of this guy like 2 arms with pads that sit on your shoulders.
Okay.
And you have a platform. So you have like a flat platform and also had like an incline platform.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times what we would do, you'd get on that incline, that 45-degree incline with those pads on your shoulders, and you could load it up super light or super heavy. And so essentially you would kind of do like a hack squat.
So it was like a hack squat.
But we would jump off that son of a bitch.
Huh?
So you would use almost like a Vertimax, but you would do it at an angle.
Oh, and like a, and you would load it up.
Okay. So you load that thing on your shoulders. So the pads are on your shoulders. Gotcha. And you've got handles right gotcha. There, and you're more like a 45, and you go down to your squat, and you jump off that thing, and you jump back onto that platform.
Burned like crazy.
And so you do like, you know, sets like five or something like that, and you're just trying to like jump as high as you can off that thing.
That's cool.
They had the, which I don't know if these are actual names. This is what they called it. They called it like the attacker.
And the such a fucking corny name.
And the Dominator.
All right.
And
that's like the most football coach named thing ever, forever. Dude.
And those are like more, like I don't know why they really had us doing that, because that was really definitely more of an O-line, D-line piece of equipment. So like the attacker was a piece of equipment where you had your platform you stood on, and you had a handle. It had different kind of handles that you can kind of grab different positions. And like you would kind of load up, and you would drive and push into it, right? So that'd be like an O-line, D-line thing. Right. And then the other piece of equipment was, which is actually a really cool piece of equipment. It had like more like a U-shaped bar, and you would be almost like you're swinging like a baseball bat, right? And you would take that handle, and then you would rotate and then drive and press.
That's neat though.
And so you could load that up as well. So they had like two or three of all those pieces of equipment. Back in the day. And so you usually have like one station of that as well, kind of rotated in there.
Okay.
And then did you ever go to the, y'all don't have a mat room?
Yeah, we did.
Do you have a mat room in St. Louis?
It would be like a, we call it the wrestling room.
Did you ever go there?
Oh yeah.
We for football there and wrestle room. Each other?
Oh yeah. 100%. We used to put, they used to put champion also. But we used to put flags in our socks. And so they would like, put you in the
room. So you had to grab some of the other person's
sock. You had to grab the sock out of the other. You had to grab the flag out of the other person's sock, but it was 1v1. And so they would do 1v1 until the last two, and then you'd have a champion of the day, right?
Yeah.
Or they would do, like, sometimes they would just say, go. And it would be, like, 25, 30 people free-for-all. Like, last person standing wins. And that was some of the funnest stuff ever, though. I loved that shit, dude. Because, like, they would even let the wrestlers come in, and like, so the wrestlers would do it with us sometimes. Uh-huh. It was some fun stuff.
Because Terry wrestled back in the day, and he would always say that the people that are hardest to wrestle are people who don't know how to wrestle.
Well, yeah, you're just like trying to go full blast at like 100%.
Well, because like you're just doing random shit that
you wouldn't see
otherwise when you're actually trying to wrestle. And so like those people are always the hardest people, because we would go to the mat room maybe like twice a year. They'd randomly bring us over there. And, you know, typical shit, you get in your lines and you do, like, your drills and things like that. And then at the end of it, they're like, all right, we're going to...
Let's go.
Everybody, we're going to have two people go in the middle of the circle, and everybody's going to root them on, and they're going to see who can pin who, so to speak. And, you know, you'd have somebody who wrestled, and then they would go to wrestle somebody, and it would still take them a while to get them down, but it's just, they're more awkward, right? They're not doing traditional wrestling things. And then once or twice a year, they call it the Big Ten.
Okay.
And it was basically CrossFit at the time. I didn't know it at the time. And I don't know if they even really... They probably didn't know it was CrossFit either. And I fucking hated it. Which is crazy that I knew CrossFit, because it was pretty much basically CrossFit. But it was like 10 stations.
Okay.
Max reps at each station. And you had a 1 minute rest between each station.
All right. Okay.
And so you had like max squats of 135. And you know... 1 minute max hang cleans at 135,
that's cool,
max push-ups, max bend or incline press, whatever it may be. They'd come up with 10 different stations that you would do. And I remember hating it.
I think that was hard, though.
Did you ever do a true track workout?
Yeah, they would make us do stuff like that.
Like, I remember having to go on, once again, they only did that randomly, maybe like twice a year, but you'd have to go out there and run. And like, we would run, but it'd be nothing more than about 100 meters.
No, I'm talking like, we would run like...
Yes.
400, that's 600, what I'm saying. Like, 800 meter runs.
Yeah, like, so they make you do like 400 meter repeats or something like that. And I remember dying.
Those sucked.
Like doing like a true track workout.
So like our gym, where the wrestling mat was, mm-hmm. So like we would go to the basketball gym and they would make us run around the basketball gym. But then there were stairs on both sides of the room. And so you had to climb up the stairs to the wrestling mat, go all the way down. Then you have to come right back down. And then you would have like a station of like, whatever it may be, like push-ups, sit-ups, dumbbell, kettlebell swings, like all these things. And essentially CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
And so we would have to do like 10-minute AMRAP of that, right? And then you would go outside and you would do, like, your track workout. And so, like, you would be, your legs are smoked from the stairs. Sure. And, like, and everybody's, like, racing each other. On, it, I love that stuff, though.
Well,
but inevitably, you would always have, like, 5 to 10 people that would just, like, somehow get first place, of course. And I'm like, oh, that used to drive me up a wall.
Well, like, for me, doing stuff like that back in the day, because, like, in football, everything's just full throttle.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're always taught, like, everything is...
Everything's 100% effort.
You, if you're going to do a hang clean, you're going to do a sprint piece. Everything's done as, like, full throttle as hard as you can every single time. Well, when you're doing something like a CrossFit-style workout that you don't know the time, well, you're not... You're programmed, everything's full throttle.
Yeah.
And so you come out the gate fucking flying, hot as shit.
And then they're on grass like, what are you doing? You're not going fast enough. I'm like, I just died.
Inevitably, you burn out. Yeah. And so just like with anybody here, like when they first start and they come out the gate way too hard and they inevitably hit a wall at some point in time, it's just looking back on it, like if I'd have had a little bit more wherewithal to think for myself.
Knowledge.
And like, well, you know, the fact of the matter is I'm going to be working out for 10 rounds of this station, like I probably gonna need to pace myself a little bit and not do it like it's only one time. Like it's just the dumbassery of me back in the day. But
or they would make us run around all of St. Louis. So like we would run around
like cross country?
Literally like cross country. That shit I used to hate that stuff so much.
See, they never made us run long distances.
Oh, I would go home.
In middle school, I still remember so like at Lewis. There's a track, right? But it's not like a formal track. It's not like, you know, you go like Barb or Sulfur. Mm-hmm.
Well, our track was like, it had like cement blocks.
See, ours is
our track. And that was like your track line.
So like at Lewis, right? They have like, the field is maybe elevated like an inch or two. So you have like a grass track around the football field. This is one of those things like, you know, coaches don't know. They don't know. But you'd be in full on pads.
Running.
And be like, all right, go take a 4 meter lap.
That sounds awful.
Yes. You'd be like, all right, go warm. We can take a 4 meter lap. Chafing. In your cleats.
Oh, pads.
Pads.
Pants.
Helmet.
Oh,
everything.
No. Oh, no.
And you're talking like this is like August, September.
That's terrible.
Right? And so, or like you got your ass chewed or something like that. Go take a lap, you know.
No, the only other thing they made us do like that was if you had, I think it was like a D or an F. Or on your
I was about to ask you what you do for punishment for grades.
D or F on your report card or your mid 6 weeks or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You had to have your football helmet on, and they would make you do front, like pretty much like head over heel rolls over the football field.
So the actual like forward rolls,
like your
or like
head
side
on the
rolls.
Ground, head on the ground, flipping over.
So you're doing a roll,
like a roll, like
okay.
a full on roll.
So like some people, I never heard this before. I got out of high school.
That was
so roll was like you know rolling on your side.
Oh no, we never did that. No.
So I know some people do the rolling on their side. You guys actually did
like a full roll,
like a forward
with your
roll.
Helmet on. And so, like, we did that, and then the baseball team would do that, and that was, like, your punishment. Our old, old...
And the idea of that is to make you nauseous.
You throw it.
Okay.
You throw it okay. if you do it. Because you had to go down and back, so it's 200 yards of rolling, right?
See, we just did bear crawls.
Bear crawls? See, we never did bear crawls.
Bear crawls was our punishment.
But we had a guy, one of our coaches named, I still remember him, Coach Kirk. And he would...
We got 2 minutes, we got to wrap this up.
2 minutes. His name is Coach Kirk, and if you did something really bad, he would... put you in the back of his truck and drive you to our football field where we play our football games on Fridays. And you'd have a 45-pound plate or whatever kind of plate you could hold over your head. And you had to do a 400-meter lunge.
Ooh.
And you just lunge until you were done. And so like
400 meters?
400 meters all the way around the track.
Overhead plate?
Overhead plate. And so if you couldn't hold it over your head. You stood there until you could hold that plate over your head until you could lunge again.
Oof.
And I never had to do that, thank God. But everybody that had to do it said they hated it.
So... Like Kaylee in cheerleading, they had to do lunging, but just normal lunging. They didn't have like holding weights or like that. But I forgot what, I think it was like, you know, 50 yards for a D and like 100 yards for an F.
Okay.
Do you remember some of those guys who had like 600-700 yards with a bear cross?
Oh my God.
Just being dumbasses, you know, not doing anything. They had like three
that's
Ds
so
and
bad.
Like two S and three Ds or something like that.
Jesus.
And like, that's a shitload of bear crawling.
No.
But anyways, that's enough for our football talk.
Long podcast.
So later, guys.